Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a combined project of KCBX and our team of program hosts. On Tuesday, July 28th, Guadalupe's City Council unanimously voted to end renovations to the city's historic Royal Theater. Today, members of the local arts community will join host Lotta Murty, and they will discuss the city's decision and what it means for arts, culture, and the Guadalupe community. We do invite you to listen and participate in our conversation with your calls today at 805-781-3875. And with that, let's join Dr. Lotta Murty and her guests. Over to you, Lotta.
Thank you, Brad. With me today in the studio are Mira Baylor, Vice President of the Guadalupe Visual and Performing Arts Collective, formerly the Guadalupe Visual and Performing Arts Center. Mira's on the board there. And also with me today is Stephanie Krause, Guadalupe resident, artist, and co-owner of the Yellow House Arts Academy and the Red Barn. And as Brad said, they're here to talk about the disappointing decision for many of us that Guadalupe City Council made at their meeting this past Tuesday to terminate renovations to Guadalupe's Royal Theater. I want to emphasize that neither Mira nor Stephanie works for the City of Guadalupe. And so they are not representing the City of Guadalupe today. They are representing the arts community of Guadalupe. So welcome, Mira and Stephanie.
Thank you
for being here today to talk about Guadalupe's Royal Theater and arts and culture in the Guadalupe community. So I will admit I was a little surprised by the City Council's decision to stop renovations to Guadalupe's Royal Theater entirely. I was expecting delays or maybe changes to plans, but some of our listeners may remember that 3 years ago, almost exactly 3 years ago, back in July 2023, I talked to representatives of Guadalupe's Visual and Performing Arts Collective, then Center, and based on what they said, I thought for sure that these renovations would eventually be a reality. So, Mira, did you see the City Council's decision coming to terminate renovations to the Royal Theater?
Yeah, thank you so much for having us on today. You know, unfortunately, I did sort of see that this inevitably was where it was going to go with this project. The writing has kind of been on the wall over the last, you know, I would say 2 years and a half. And while I felt sort of a renewed sense of positivity when they finally did break ground and start moving towards construction, it just became clear over time that they really did not have the full finances or the resources in order to complete this project the way it was scoped. And I think with a project of this size, it would be challenging for any city. And I think especially for Guadalupe, which is a very small city with a very small staff, they ultimately just did not have the resources in order to pull this off. So this is a very sad ending, unfortunately, but it does seem like this is where this was headed.
You mentioned the groundbreaking. That was back in December, right? December 1st. And
yes.
So did it seem then like this was going to happen?
In all honesty, like I said, I got a sort of renewed sense of positivity that maybe this was going to actually work out. But I did, unfortunately, have a lot of the same hesitancy and fears, even as they were breaking ground, that they just did not have all their, you know, I's dotted and their T's crossed in order to really make this successful. And many people had kind of expressed their doubts and fears, even leading up to the groundbreak, saying, hey, we need more in order to ensure this moves forward.
Thank you. I want to remind our listeners again that my guests today are not with the City of Guadalupe. They are not representing the City of Guadalupe. Well, you just heard from Mira Baylor, Vice President of the Guadalupe Visual and Performing Arts Collective. I also have here with me today Stephanie Krause, co-owner of the Yellow House Arts Academy and the Red Barn, as well as a Guadalupe resident artist and artist. And Stephanie, I'm going to ask you as well, did you see the Guadalupe City Council's decision to end renovations to the Royal Theater coming? Were you anticipating this?
Yeah, I actually did see it coming. I've been going to the last few city council meetings, and each one was leading us towards basically we don't have the funds. We don't have the funds to cover it. And we have some new employees in the city, and they're really looking more closely at the finances that have happened in the recent past. And money was moving around in ways that it wasn't supposed to. They were using restricted, what they're calling enterprise funds, to be part of the calculation to show whether they had enough money to continue with the project or not. So, yeah, I saw it coming. I feel like anybody who was going to the council meetings was seeing it, you know, being brought out to the forefront.
And how often does the city council meet in Guadalupe?
About every 2 weeks. They usually have an agenda. I think it's the week before. I'm not exactly sure, but about every 2 weeks. So you can expect every on a Tuesday evening, every 2 weeks to go. And I really, I hope people keep showing up because the meetings are getting fuller and we really need that. That's I think part of the reason why we've had these financial woes in the past. And, you know, right now, is because people kind of just assume that the city is running itself and that if we don't show up, they don't really hear the comments. But if we do show up, that creates like, oh, we better check into that. So, hopefully we can get more people to start coming to the city council meetings.
And when you say we, are you referring to the Guadalupe community?
Yes, I am referring to the community. Right now, Guadalupe is such a small place that you can really get the pulse of what's going on Facebook in a number of groups. And you'll see the comments, and there's a lot of people putting comments, and super intelligent comments, things that have been well thought out, but a much smaller amount of people actually show up to the meetings to express their frustrations. So if we could get people to realize that what's on Facebook looks like some really valuable information, but you really need to show up to express your ideas and opinions at the meetings.
And so when you say meetings are getting fuller and fuller, do you mean in terms of attendance or the agenda?
Well, I don't think the agenda was so big in this last meeting. It was just these basic items. But I mean in terms of people that are showing up to be audience members and to really watch what's going on. I think that I had heard that we had 150 people watching online, and that's a lot more than usual. We also had people in the audience that were sitting down in seats. So that's what I mean. It's just the actual bodies of people that are either listening from afar with their ears or they're in the audience and sitting.
And I really hope that one of the lessons that can come from this project is the idea that you can't wait until it's too late to express involvement and interest. That interest and involvement needs to stay sustained. And there have been many times where I have gone to city council meetings and I have called out to the council to say, look, there's nobody in the audience here. A project of this size should have extreme community participation and insight. And it is really the role of city council and city leadership to acknowledge if that participation is not there and to do the outreach and to do the work necessary to bring the community back into the folds of this project. And as the project went on, that involvement, that excitement, that community participation went, you know, obviously it went in waves as things happened, but ultimately it waned as the project went on. And the city, in my belief, did not do their due diligence to draw that participation back in, to ensure that sustained excitement and involvement. And I think some of that, those issues kind of led to also where we're at today.
Again, I want to remind listeners that my guests today, Mira and Stephanie, do not work for the City of Guadalupe. They're not on the Guadalupe City Council, but they're members of the arts community in Guadalupe. And Guadalupe's Royal Theater, of course, has many connections to its arts community. But Stephanie, you mentioned funding, and I'd like to go back to that because in the episode I did on the Royal Theater back in 2023, the project manager at the time, Tom Brandberry, told Central Coast Voices that the $10 million needed to renovate the Royal Theater was all in place in two different funds or from two different sources. But now, and it seems like not just now, but in several meetings, the City Council of Guadalupe has been saying that there's not enough money to renovate, and that's why they had to put an end to the renovations. So, Mira, what happened? What changed in this time over the last 3 years or so?
Absolutely, yeah. I do think it's obviously a combination of a lot of different factors, right? There's some just general things that have happened in the world that have resulted in prices going up and construction and everything being more expensive than expected. So, of course, that's going to change the scope of the project from a financial standpoint. But I also think that at the end of the day, this really just comes down to a mismanagement of funds, a lack of oversight, and a lack of preparation and understanding of how these funding sources work. So my understanding is there's two main funding sources. You have $5 million from the California Arts, and then you got $4 million as a grant from the EDA, the Economic Development Association?
Administration.
Administration. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you. And the $4.8 million from the EDA is reimbursement funds. So that means that the city has to front that money, then go through a reimbursement process, and then get those funds back. The problem is, in order to do that, you have to have the cash on hand in order to first pay. In addition, it's a huge administrative lift to go through the process of getting these reimbursements collected. When you have a city the size of Guadalupe that also is just going through other financial, you know, hardships and has just recently laid off 7 members of their staff, that administrative lift also just becomes extremely great. So you just have a misunderstanding of how these funding sources are coming in. And unfortunately, the project manager and city staff didn't come up with a plan of how they were going to ensure they had enough money in the bank to first pay and then be reimbursed. And they also didn't anticipate enough of a runway that if costs increased, if they didn't have as many staff members, how were they going to bridge those gaps? And ultimately, those gaps just became too great for them to overcome.
You mentioned a grant, though, from the California Arts, $5 million. So that grant could not go towards putting the money up front that was
so
needed?
So my understanding is, yes, that was just $5 million that was given to the city. They could use that. You know, they have that in the bank. But again, if they spent that money and they didn't have enough of a runway, which is what they were anticipating. So a lot of what they were describing in the council meeting was, we're okay today, but by November, we're not okay. And we don't foresee a way to bridge that gap between today and November. Therefore, if we continue this project and we don't have a real action plan between now and November, come November, we have nothing left in the bank to front that money and to successfully continue the project.
And again, Mira and Stephanie, you are speaking as members of the community who have gone to all of these city council meetings and heard these presentations, not as members of the city council.
Absolutely.
Or employees of
and,
the city.
You know, I will add, these are very complicated projects. These are very complicated funding sources. It's a lot to manage. So I want to, you know, give credit that these are really difficult you know, ideas and concepts and plans that, you know, a city of Guadalupe, that's a really big project to try to take on. And unfortunately, I just think that initial planning process and making sure everything was all buttoned up is really where things already at the very beginning sort of fell off the rails and inevitably were going to lead to this because that foundation was not built or set.
Mm-hmm. I'm Lotta Murty with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, your Central Coast listener-supported radio station. My guests today are Stephanie Krause, Guadalupe resident, artist, and co-owner of the Yellow House Arts Academy and the Red Barn. And also Mira Baylor, Vice President of the Guadalupe Visual and Performing Arts Collective Board. And we are talking about the Guadalupe City Council's recent decision to terminate renovations to the city's Royal Theater. And I'd like to invite members of the City Council to call in and weigh in, as well as any of our listeners. What questions or comments do you have about the City of Guadalupe's recent decision regarding the historic Royal Theater? Call 805-781-3875, and you can also email your questions or comments to voices@kcbx.org, and we will get them on the air. So going back to funding, is it not too late, or was it not too late before this Tuesday, past Tuesday, to pursue other grant funding sources for the theater? Or is that something you can't answer, not being part of the city council or the city's employees?
Yeah, I think it's difficult to answer that now because, unfortunately, my understanding is that as of their decision on Friday, that $4.8 million from the EDA essentially goes back to the EDA, and only a representative from the city or from the EDA would be able to fully answer whether there's an option for a different entity to come in and take over that funding source and allow it to continue to go towards the theater. So that's a major loss if that were to be the case. And then again, just going back to how grants typically work in terms of being reimbursement based, Guadalupe is not at a place where they're able to front those funds. And so financially, it would be challenging to try to find a different grant-based funding source to come in and have that be successful unless we were, you know, unless the city or a different entity were to be able to come in and find a large sum of money that could be in coordination with a major grant.
And there was a capital campaign as well, right, to raise money. But ultimately, it seems like that wasn't successful enough for
yeah,
that.
I do think that there is currently, or at least currently up until this Tuesday, a capital campaign that was being run by previous project manager Tom Brandeberry. He was employed by the city to head that capital campaign, and they did have quite a few community member volunteers. And I know that they were sort of exploring quite a few avenues. Unfortunately, even with, you know, not small but not large, you know, donations, they were up against ultimately what sounded like $3 to $5 million in a gap. And that's quite a big hill to climb in terms of a capital campaign. So I do believe maybe they were successful in raising almost, you know, $400,000 to $500,000. But again, out of $3 to $5 million needed in hand right away, that's just not quite enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know what that money will go towards now? The money they raised?
I do not know. I believe that would be a question for the city's nonprofit, which is the Guadalupe Community Action Coalition. Mm. And I do believe that one of their members was in the audience at the city council meeting, and they were discussing what those next steps might look like, but it did not sound like they had a definitive answer for where that funding might go now.
So there were a lot of people invested in this, if not financially and emotionally as well, and professionally, perhaps, too. Stephanie, can you talk about that some more from what you've seen, how are members of the Guadalupe community reacting or responding to this news of no more renovations to Royal Theater?
Well, I can only, you know, I can only go with what I've seen and heard from the locals that have talked to me. I've seen on Facebook there's a lot of disappointment. There's a lot of people saying this is the same thing that happened the last time, or, you know, people are kind of disheartened, like, what always happens to the money? They wonder, you know, like, was this a scam?
It's the kind I'm going to stop you just a minute. When they say the last time or always, what are they referring to?
I don't know the history on if the city, well, the city at one point had said they were going to renovate when there was a previous city administrator, and it didn't materialize then. So I think they've seen notices that said, oh, we've got money, we're going to do this, and then it doesn't happen, and then this looks similar to what they're seeing now. So they're kind of like, people are very wary, and they don't, I think the city's lost some trust, for sure.
Mm.
I mean, personally, some of the older people, older timers that I know, you know, they attended the Royal Theater as kids. I just met a farmer last week, and he was saying that his family used to go to the movies in Spanish there, but my grandmother and my mother had told me that they would attend movies, and there were also movies in, like, Chinese and other languages altogether, maybe Filipino or Japanese. So there is a big history, and the theater at some point was a thriving theater. I always remember my family saying that after the movies, they went to Snappy Lunch and had noodles, or, you know, so there is a big history. I think the people that I have talked to or I've seen their comments online, they're disappointed.
Yeah, because it's really one of the oldest theaters, at least in California, right? It started in the 1940s. So, and before World War II, right, when this was a thriving Japantown, Guadalupe was. So it does have a rich history of a Guadalupe that really doesn't exist anymore. And you lose those memories, right, when you lose a building like that. What is to become of the structure, the space, the building? Does anyone know?
That was a big topic of conversation at the end of the council meeting that happened on Tuesday. And it does not sound like there's necessarily a solution right at this point. And as you mentioned, you know, we're not here on behalf of the city. I don't want to speak out of turn since I don't think anyone 100% knows. But there are some real structural concerns. You know, the roof is a concern. The back of the building is a concern. And from, you know, you spoke about that history. And the marquee of the theater has long really been a symbol, not just of Guadalupe, but of the entire real, like, valley there and sort of what this theater represented. You know, going off of what Stephanie said, you know, there's many different communities that have enjoyed this downtown, and the marquee's not there right now. And there's a big question, I think, from just a community standpoint of how do you get that marquee back up? How do you make sure that symbol is still there? And I think really without that marquee up, this is sort of a symbol of a much larger conversation about, you know, sort of small downtowns across California and the United States of how do you keep these memories? How do you keep this historical value? So there have not been any concrete answers that have been given to the community, but I think that this is going to be a significant conversation over the next couple of weeks because many people have many questions about how that is going to play out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just to kind of piggyback on what Mira said, you know, people use the marquee in our city as a way to find out exactly what's going on. it was used all the time. Like, oh, we're having a sale downtown. Oh, it's time for Little League sign up softball. You know, like, so to not have that way for people walking around or driving through town to see what's going on, it really cuts off the communication that we already have in our city. So I think it just adds to showing that we're eliminating another source of open communication, and that's what people need. I know the city administrator was saying to the attendees and the council that there will still be money that has to be spent just to get the structure, covered, so that if the Royal Theater is to be, you know, developed in the future, that it won't be, you know, worse off.
So, speaking now in terms of your roles in organizations, arts organizations in Guadalupe, Mira, what had been the role or continues to be the role of, is it now GVPAC?
GVPAC,
Guadalupe Visual and Performing Arts Collective. What's been their role in relation to Royal Theater renovations?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we initially formed GVPAC, it was with the intent that we would ultimately operate the Royal Theater. And that was really where our heart was at. As we sort of got to know both Guadalupe and the Royal Theater and the renovation process more, it became clear that we really wanted to be involved in the arts community as a whole, not necessarily just in relation to the Royal Theater, but just Guadalupe and the Santa Maria Valley. And this is really just a passion. And so sort of along the way, we started getting involved in more community organizations and projects that were currently happening as we were still involved in helping the city with however they would want the support for the actual physical renovation of the Royal Theater. So we've been very involved with the Dune Center. We were very involved in the 100-year anniversary of Cecil B. DeMille and the Ten Commandments. We, you know, have been very involved actually with the city and the Parks and Rec Department, helping them run movie nights. And so we kind of just want to continue to offer that support to the arts community in general. We would love to work with Stephanie more with the current ventures that she has. And so, you know, regardless of where the Royal Theater ultimately nets out, we stay committed to just being involved in the arts and community in Guadalupe moving forward.
Great. I'd like to talk to you some more about that as well, Stephanie, right after our break. But right now we're going to take a short break and hear from our studio. Over to you, Brad.
Hi, Marisa Waddell here, Program Director at KCBX. In response to listener feedback, we're refreshing our programming schedule beginning August 2nd. We're adding great new shows like The Daily and Today Explained and expanding All Things Considered. Don't worry, though, your favorite shows are simply moving to new time slots or to our KCBX 2 channel. Explore the new schedules at kcbx.org or on the KCBX app.
Hola, I'm Maria Hinojosa. Every Thursday afternoon at 2, you can hear Latino USA on KCBX. Latino USA is a Peabody Award-winning radio journal of news and culture from a Latino-Latina perspective. It chronicles how we're living, shaping, and changing the United States of America. Tune in for in-depth reporting, candid conversations, and fascinating stories. Join me for Latino USA Thursdays from 2 to 3 on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio.
On the next Fresh Air, actor John Bernthal. He often plays intense, damaged characters like Mikey from The Bear and Shane from The Walking Dead. When talking about himself and his characters, Bernthal says it's easy for someone who's scared to turn into someone who's scary. He currently stars in The Odyssey and the new Spider-Man film, A Brand New Day. Join us.
That's a look ahead today on Thursday here on KCBX. It's Latino USA from 2 to 3, Fresh Air from 3 to 4, and then Marketplace starts at 4 o'clock. Right now, we'll return to Dr. Lotta Murdy and her guests, a very interesting topic, and we do urge members of the local community, including the city council and the deciding folks there, to call in and participate in our program at 805-781-3875. With that, let's get back to Dr. Lotta Murdy and her guests. Over to you, Lotta.
Thanks, Brad. Welcome back to Central Coast Voices, listeners. With me today are Mira Baylor, Vice President of the Guadalupe Visual and Performing Arts Collective Board, otherwise known as GVPAC, and also Stephanie Krause, Guadalupe resident, artist, and co-owner of the Yellow House Arts Academy. And we have been talking about the City of Guadalupe's recent decision to stop renovations to Guadalupe's historic Royal Theater. Listeners, especially listeners in Guadalupe, including members of Guadalupe's City Council, we'd love to hear from you. What do you feel? How do you feel about this decision that the City Council made on Tuesday to stop renovations? Is it perhaps welcome news to anyone? Are you feeling that this needed to happen? Please call and tell us. 805-781-3875, or you can email questions and comments to voices@kcbx.org, and we will get them on the air. And so going back to your specific arts organization's involvement with the Royal Theater renovations as they were planned, Mira, you were talking about the Guadalupe Visual and Performing Arts Collective being the organization that was to run or kind of operate the Royal Theater had renovations come about. Stephanie, what was the Yellow House Arts Academy and the Red Barn, or what was their involvement in Royal Theater renovations, if at all?
Well, at this point, there had not been any involvement. I am a teacher, and I'd been teaching arts at the local elementary school, Mary Bearin Elementary, and also at the new Guadalupe Early Learning Center. And I've been teaching to all of those students, and I've enjoyed it very much. And so I had stepped away this year so that I could open this arts academy. We had a certain number of things happen, and my husband and I were able to purchase these properties. And so this is a dream come true. I'd like to keep arts alive in Guadalupe, but kind of do it more as classes after school and into the evening for kids, but also adults as well. So not just the kind of arts we would do in the classroom where it's kind of quick and you get it done and the next class comes, but something where people can kind of build on week to week. Also like to, besides just the visual arts, interested in teaching students music, and had wanted to contract with local artists, local musicians, people that have some sort of art skill that the rest of our community doesn't know about, but it could be very inspiring to anybody. And so it would keep the arts alive. So also dance. We don't currently have a dance program, and I've been dancing for a number of years, and I want to bring that, the great things that dance does to our community. It's amazing when you start dancing and you have to perform and you start having to look around and feel that confident feeling so you can go out in front of hundreds of people, and a confidence builds, and it's just it's really awesome. When I was at Mary Bearin Elementary, we were doing drama and musical play, and those students had never been exposed to either. And when I first started teaching them, they were like, oh boy. You know, I'm like, yeah, you're going to learn 10 songs and you're going to be you're going to be memorizing everything. And at first they were scared, but by the end they were just shining and so proud of what they did. And I see kids every day when I'm in the community, and they will call out because they remember the arts experience. And there's just nothing like the arts for making life worthwhile. And so I'm super passionate about it. I know Mira is too. But the arts do something that nothing else you learn in school can do. And it lifts everybody. When I first started my business doing paintings and drawings, I was inspired by the Judy Baca murals that we have at City Hall. And when I looked at those and I kind of saw what was in each of the scenes, I was inspired. And then years later, I went on to create my own murals and talk about my murals and what they do, you know. And then I run into people and they'll be like, wow, I saw this mural, and could I do something like that? And so the arts are just so uplifting, and everybody should have access to the arts. So that's what I think between what I'm doing and between Mira and the organization that she's representing. I feel like that's what the arts do. They lift everybody.
And indeed, I enjoyed having you on an earlier episode of Central Coast Voices. I can't remember when now. It's been a while, and you told us about the murals, the community murals that you've painted, and also painted in community, right?
Yes.
Not just as a solo artist. So thank you for all the work you do with arts in the community. Mira, what is your personal involvement in the arts, especially in Guadalupe?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of just want to piggyback off of what Stephanie just said, which is, I think going back to the very beginning of this project, maybe some of the comments might have been, why is it worth spending so much money to renovate a theater, right? Because $10 million is a lot of money to a lot of people. And I think that so much of what you just so eloquently said is at the crux of, why is it valuable for small communities to invest not just in historic buildings, but in the foundation of buildings that support the arts and that build up communities. Guadalupe is a very young community. It's a small community, but a lot of young, you know, 0 to 25 is a big percentage of the community there. And it's also a community in which not a lot of community members have always had access to after-school programs, to arts, to community-oriented events. And the value that these spaces and places and activities provide really cannot be quantified. And so I just want to say it's worth every penny for communities to invest in these types of projects. Mm-hmm. And just because the Royal Theater might not be a physical space right now doesn't take away from the fact that the arts in places like Guadalupe could not be more important to be investing in. And like you said, you know, to me, various art forms are about being able to tell stories and to share shared experiences. And whether that's dance, whether that's music, whether that's film, all of that is an opportunity for people to take their lived experiences and to turn them into a shared experience so that communities get lifted up as a whole, but also so that other people that are watching these can get an insight and a look into what someone else might be experiencing and why it's important to pay attention.
Yeah. Yeah, and that is just so true. And like just in the examples of the murals, I would have kids walking by like, oh, they would come out of the supermarket. Can I paint? Well, ask your mom, is it okay with her? And if it was, she came back and they painted, you know, or we had the different after-school groups of kids coming, adults coming. I mean, when people are involved in the arts, you create community. And that's what we want. I mean, community is created by a shared experience, just like Mira was saying. So the more arts opportunities we have, the more of a shared community we have.
And we have a caller who would like to add to that sentiment about art and community and art as a group project, a group work, if I understand the summary of your comment correctly. Melanie from Guadalupe, you are on the air. Hi, Melanie.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. And it was, and it's great to hear Mira and Stephanie speak about the arts. It's very uplifting to hear this. I guess I just wanted to hitchhike back about the Royal Theater for a second and just say, Mira, do you want to talk at all about a capital campaign we wanted to do in 2024? In June of 2024?
Mira, would you like to talk about that?
You don't have to.
Yeah, absolutely. Myself, Melanie, a group of local business owners and other community members, we did approach the city in 2024 to start.
June
of 2024 to start a capital campaign because it became very clear that there was going to be a larger gap in the funds needed to complete the project. And for a variety of reasons, the city at that time was not looking for our support to come in and do that. And I think, again, to me, this is just an example of a city who knew that they had some capacity limitations, who had very excited, passionate community members who wanted to offer their services at that time to be able to make sure that this project really did come to fruition. And it's, to me, this is part of the sadness of how this has all ended, is that this didn't need to happen this way. And there was so much, like you said, excitement and commitment and involvement and passion of people who said, we're here, we're ready to do the work, let us do the work. And I think that the capital campaign that was presented in 2024 is another example of the city really being hesitant to look out at the vast resources that they had in front of them and accept that.
Yeah. Melanie, were you part of that campaign?
Well, yes, I wanted to be. I mean, we were trying to do the campaign, yes.
Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Listeners, do you have any insight into Guadalupe and the Royal Theater and the decision to terminate renovations? Please call, just like Melanie did, 805-781-3875. So, Mira, going back to GVPAC, Guadalupe Visual and Performing Arts Collective, what's next for GVPAC, or have you talked about that? So now that there's not going to be a Royal Theater in the foreseeable future, what's GVPAC going to work on next?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, our passion is still there. Our commitment is still there. I don't think that this changes, you know, how we ultimately feel about our involvement in Guadalupe. And we're going to continue to try to work with various organizations. We are the local partners for Viva El Arte Day, which through UCSB. So we are excited to continue to help with those shows in Guadalupe, which...
I'm sorry, say what that is again. What art day?
Viva El Arte is a program through Arts and Lectures out of UC Santa Barbara, and they're an amazing organization. And they put on 6 free art shows at Guadalupe's City Hall throughout the school year. So starting in September and running through usually May. And we are the local partners helping them put on those shows. So we're excited for the upcoming season of that. Like I said, we're excited to meet with Stephanie and offer any of our support that we can for her endeavors and everything that she brings to Guadalupe and how we can be helpful there. We're always looking for different partner organizations to provide any of our resources that we can. And, you know, I imagine we might talk about this a little bit more later on in the show, but, you know, I'm not giving up on the Royal Theater. I'm not giving up on this project. I don't think our organization's giving up on it. And whatever that sort of looks like as we move forward in the future, we'll be there to support that however we can.
I'd like to come back to that. But first, I want to remind our listeners that I am Lotta Murty with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, your listener-supported radio station. If you recently joined us for today's show and want to listen to the entire broadcast, you can. It's available on our website at www.kcbx.org under the On Demand tab and also on the new KCBX app. Select Central Coast Voices and you will find this show and many others to choose from. Today my guests are Stephanie Krause, Guadalupe resident, artist, and co-owner of the Yellow House Arts Academy and the Red Barn, and Mira Baylor, Vice President of the Guadalupe Visual and Performing Arts Collective Board. And we are talking about arts and culture in the city of Guadalupe and the city's recent decision to stop renovations on its historic Royal Theater. Listeners, we still have a little more time for your emailed questions or comments at voices@kcbx.org. We can likely still take another call as well, 805-781-3875. So, Mira, I'd like to get back to what you were just saying. I'd like to hear from you on this as well, Stephanie. So, what can those community members, particularly in Guadalupe, do now to not give up on the Royal Theater completely?
Unfortunately, I think it's unlikely in the immediate future that the city would be able to continue this project in its stated capacity, especially given the financial, you know, situation that the city is in. One of the council members at the meeting did ask if the city would be able to sell the building. And as long as it is bought by an organization or entity who will keep it as a theater and performing arts center, there is that possibility. And I do think, given everything that is happening right now, that might be the best next step. So, you know, I encourage anyone who's listening who might know somebody or who's interested themselves that they reach out directly to the city and kind of get a pulse on where the city is feeling. Again, this is so new and so recent for the city that I'm sure that they probably need to take a beat and a pause before they figure out exactly what's next or what that might look like. But, you know, like I said, our organization is also still committed to this project and to the renovation and the community arts center as a whole. And, you know, I think we will also now start reaching out to other local organizations and see if there's an opportunity for some type of collective. You know, it's such a huge project that I do really think it will take a group of organizations to come in. And I'm hopeful that, you know, this can still move forward.
Mm-hmm. Stephanie, do you have anything to add to that? What can our, maybe not just in Guadalupe, what can our listeners do to support the Royal Theater and arts in Guadalupe?
Well, like just like Mira said, in the short term, we probably can't do, unless we get a huge benefactor, somebody who wants to just donate millions of dollars. Apparently they did do that in Lompoc recently, and so that's awesome for their theater. But unless we get something like that, that's probably not going to be in our near forecast. So I think the best thing is to support the arts. Like I said, I haven't actually opened my Yellow House Arts Academy, but the goal is to have local artists teaching classes and other people taking classes, and also have a store where artists are displaying their work and selling gifts. And so creating kind of a collective in a small space. And even though we won't have a performing arts center or somewhere like the theater would have had with a big stage, we can create a smaller version of that in Guadalupe no matter what. And perhaps by doing that, we can grow the interest in the arts into a big thing to where people are ready for the theater. When we get the funds.
When we get the funds. And we actually have a caller with a question about the funds. Michael in Los Angeles wants to know about the $2 million. Where did the money go, he asks. Hi, Michael. You are on the air.
Hey, how you doing? Well, listen, I've been listening to the show. I passed through Guadalupe and the Royal Theater is just an amazing marquee and institution, and I know that everybody was looking forward to creating a community center for the arts. It's really tragic. But getting to the question that I had, it sounds like I understand the $5 million from the feds, the EDA didn't, that would only be recouped later. But the California fund, money was actually spent, a couple million, as I understand from the comments. I was wondering, where did that money go to? And if it didn't go into the space itself and the protection for the roof? Because, I mean, it's a generally a California question. I mean, it sounds almost like a mismanagement boondoggle.
Would you agree, Mira?
I think it's complicated. I would agree that I think there needs to be a better understanding and a better transparency and accounting done on where all of the money has been spent. And I'm hopeful that the city will do that and will provide more clarity and answers. Where I say it's complicated is that I think there's so many things that go into a project of this size that are not just the physical building of the walls. So, you know, there's money for the plans, there's money for PG&E, there's money for doing all of the permits, there's money for environmental testing, and all of these things add up much quicker than anyone might expect. And so my best guess, and again, I am not a representative of the city of Guadalupe, and I don't have any of the accounting in front of me. My guess is that there is an accounting somewhere of where all of this money has gone, and that as things went on and as they opened up the building and as they started looking into what it really was going to take to do this project, money just went much quicker than they expected to all the various different administrative pieces and the design pieces. And when you look at it and you think, oh, we have all of this money, and then you start putting in all those line items, all of a sudden $2 million have been spent, and there's not a lot to show for it.
Okay, that's a great answer. I'm really glad you straightened that out. But quick follow-up. Do you think that this project could have gotten completed if the initial plans had been downsized in something more like just a simple restoration of the theater with something much simpler? Could this have been accomplished that way? In other words, was the plan too big for the amount of money that really was available?
I'm probably in the minority here that I actually appreciate that the plans were more than just the theater. And one of the reasons that I say that is because I have always been a big proponent that the goal is not to open the doors of the theater. The goal is to have a successful project and theater that when you open the doors, it's going to be successful for the next 100 years. And when you look at the economics of trying to maintain a space where someone actually has to keep the lights on and provide the programming, it's very difficult to do that if the only thing you have is a theater that can just play movies. And so from the very beginning, we've done a lot of research into other community performing arts centers and to other spaces. And in order to make the money work from an operational standpoint and in terms of have long-term success, you need it to be able to provide a variety of opportunities in terms of programming, events, community, you know, organizations. And so in terms of, is the point of a project just to say that you did it and you opened the doors, or is the point of a project to be a long-term resource for the community? So ultimately, my answer is no, I don't think the project was too big, but I think that there are lessons to be learned about if you're going to have a big project, how do you make sure you do it right from the very first day?
Well, thank you for that answer, and I do appreciate your response. I wish you guys all the success in opening this theater, because it's more about the theater. It's about the kids and the community moving upwards and out of the past and into an artistic future, because that area is just amazingly beautiful and a great opportunity to advance the culture of California generally. So thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for your call, Michael. Stephanie, did you have anything to add to Mira's answer about the Royal Theater and the scale and the scope of what was planned, because as Mira was saying, right, this wasn't just going to be the theater. There was going to be a performing arts sort of classroom, and yeah. There was a lot that was planned, right?
Yeah. No, I feel like it was well thought out. The plans were well thought out. They wanted to have a place where actors could be getting ready to come out on stage.
That's right, because there was no green room in the original theater.
Right. They needed, or they wanted to have a classroom. A classroom would have been great, because then you can actually offer classes, drama classes, singing classes, many other classes. But then people get to learn every aspect of performing, starting with those classes. So I think the project was very well thought out. I agree. I think, and most recently, they had told us at the previous city council meeting that they were going to have to reduce the number of seats because of the budget. They were saying there wasn't enough money for the seats. So then we were going to be going from, I thought I heard, 250 seats to 200. Well, then your project's getting tinier and tinier, and really you can't accommodate that many people. I mean, in Santa Barbara, we perform at the Lobero Theater, and there's a lot of seats in there. And you can actually make a good amount of money from a production, but if you only have 200 seats, I'm not sure how much money can be made versus how much money is being spent on actually keeping the theater open.
Before we go, I know we could talk about this for another hour, and I wish we could, but tell our listeners where they can find out more about your organizations and about the Royal Theater and its history. Mira?
Yeah, I think in terms of the history of the Royal Theater, you can go to the National Registry of Historic Places, and they have some really important information about the whole history of the theater itself. In terms of our organization, you know, this is also a change because of everything that's happened. So we are under the Royal Theater on Facebook, but we'll probably be updating that to reflect our name, which is the Guadalupe Visual and Performing Arts Collective. And you can also find us online if you just search Guadalupe Visual and Performing Arts Collective to get more information.
Very nice. Yeah. As a local source as well, we have the Rancho de Guadalupe Historical Society Museum, and I'm pretty sure they have pictures and probably different articles inside the museum about the Royal Theater, because it's been around a long time. Some of our old-timers have talked about when there was a fire down both sides of the street and things had to be rebuilt with bricks. So if you want to find information about the theater, that way you can go to the museum. They're open Saturdays and Sundays from 1 to 3. And the museum is housed, you know, basically staffed by volunteers. For me, my Arts Academy is not yet up and running. I'm hoping to have everything ready between mid-August and early September. So right now, probably my website is the best way to contact me. And that is www.stephanie, StephanieKrause.com, StephanieKrause.com.
Thank you so much, Stephanie and Mira. That brings our show to a close today. Listeners, thanks for listening. Join us next week.